Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast Monthly Album Roundup for the month of April 2025. I'm your host, Robert, and what do you mean we have a Pope with opinions about baseball in the Midwest? That's not real. Quit fucking with the simulation. And with me, I have...
These albums are nowhere near as sick as me. Because I'm actually kind of really sick right now. Damn it.
And...
I'm going to say, GTA 6 away. That is very expected, to be honest. It's been delayed until next year, which I sort of get.
Come on, guys. It's a Rockstar game. It was never making that original date. Come on, people. How many times have we been on this roller coaster before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
Oh, the nigga. Wait, what?
I mean, I'm just hoping...
You're looking too, damn it.
Look, all I'm hoping is that when the game comes out, at the very least, we'll get a meme from it as funny as the yee-ass haircut.
I remember somebody saying, now you too will get to experience what it's like being a Latina going to high school in Cookie Monster sweatpants. I knew three girls who did that.
Oh, man, it's going to be fun to revisit video game Florida again. But this isn't a Grand Theft Auto podcast yet. It is the album roundup, and we're going to be real with you. April was one of the albums of all time. Well, one of the months of all time, rather. Like, I mean, stuff technically happened, but God, this is like... Even the big stuff was, like, just not that big. So, this is probably going to be one of those ones that we can, like, breeze through relatively quickly. I mean, it's probably still going to be, like, an hour under, but, you know.
Here's the soul cup of whatever it is in here. That's how much... New music, about that much.
So, might as well start getting this out of the way. As always, we start off with just a brief recap of some of the more notable things that came out the past month. There's probably going to be a few things that we missed, but I think there's a strong enough cross-section of, again, whatever was happening in April. So, let's start right at the top. First of all, there were a couple of releases literally right at the beginning of the month, so April Fools started off with, first of all, one of the biggest plot twists that Chainsaw Man ever dropped, and second, a shadow drop of a Skrillex album called Fuck You Skrillex, You Think You're Andy Warhol, But You're Not, !!3. And then the day after that, on April 2nd, we had a project from Duckworth called All American Fuckboy. Sadly, nowhere near as fun of a title to say. Now, let's move on to the first proper Friday of the month, April 4th. Your new releases include the newest album from Pigs Times 7 with Death Hilarious, from Death Metalers, or maybe just Heavy Metalers, Benediction, Ravage of Empires. From the band Allegion, we had The Ossuary Lens. From Boldy James and V Dawn, we had Alphabet Highway. From Sleigh Bells, there was the album Bunky Becky Birthday Boy. And the combined efforts of Elton John and Brandi Carlile gave us the album Who Believes in Angels. And now moving on to the next week with April 11th, 2025, your new releases include... Oh, God, there was a new Epica album. Fucking why?
Ew.
It was called A Spiral. There was a new solo album from guitarist Mark Morton of Lamb of God fame with Without the Pain. Then in one of the weirder, just what the hell was even happening with this releases of the year, we had the Mars Volta with Lucro Sucio, Los Ojos del Vacio, which is Spanish for Filthy Lucre, The Eyes of the Void. You know, that album that one of the dudes just, like, gave a fucking CDR copy of to, like, a DoorDash driver, I think? And then they were just like, hey, guys, they got a new album and stuff. Just, yeah, that whole promo cycle, if you can call it, that was a thing. From the pop punk band Magnolia Park, we had their new album Vamp. From OK Go, we had an album called And the Adjacent Possible. Huh, I feel like I haven't heard that name in a while. When was the last time they put it on? First album since 2014. Holy shit.
Well.
Do you know how long ago that was? Regular Show was still on the air back then. With new episodes. It was probably like season 3 or 4, I think.
And that's before they had their One Hit Wonderland episode.
From Bon Iver, we had a new album called Sable Fable. And last but certainly not least, we had the triplet release of the various soundtracks for the currently ongoing anime series Lazarus from Kamasi Washington, Bonobo, and Floating Points. Then moving on, in between those two Fridays on April 12th, we had a collaboration project between Mathematics and Wu-Tang Clan with Black Samson, the Bastard Swordsman. Then we move on to April 18th. Now, when we did the episode for the first time around, I jokingly said, that there wasn't shit happening here, but okay, I guess some things did technically come out, so let's be professional and talk about what did drop on this week. Because apparently there was one that I missed that I actually would have been like, oh yeah, I give a shit about that. We had a new live album from the band Chatpile with Live at Roadburn 2023. From the combined efforts of Torres and Julian Baker. Julian Baker being a singer-songwriter that was one-third of the group Boy Genius. We had Send a Prayer My Way. Unfortunately, there was a new Mayday Parade album called Sweet. It most certainly was not. I didn't even listen to the album, and I could tell you that. From the combined efforts of Sauce Walker and That Mexican OT, we had a project called Chicken and Sauce. What is that, the hot new cop show? Chicken and Sauce, Wednesdays at 8 on CBS. We had a surprise drop, an EP from West Side Gun with Heels Have Eyes. Get it? Heels? He likes wrestling. I bet you didn't know that. From Wiz Khalifa, we had a project called Kush and Orange Juice 2. Then, on April 24th, there was a new album from singer Natalia Lafourcade with Cancionera. And then we move on to April 25th, 2025. Your notable releases included a new Machine Head album with Unatoned, a collaborative project between Sumac and More Mother with The Film. From the band Elevetai, we had their new album Anv. From Big Brave, we had their new project OST. From Billy Idol, we had his new album Dream Into It. From Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra, we had the project Still Blooming. From Willie Nelson, Oh What a Beautiful World. And last, unfortunately, there was a new Ghost album called Skeleta. So, yeah, again, when your big highlight is, like, a new Ghost album, you're desperate for some other pickings. And maybe some of us found some, who knows. So, as always, I'm going to throw it over to Alex to get things started with some more deep dives into things, relatively speaking.
Okay, and since I am sick with something, I'm going to keep this short and sweet, hopefully more shorter than sweeter. This month was a wash for me. There wasn't a whole lot for me to really pick from, so I had to scramble to find some stuff, but I did find some stuff. Did y'all know this movie Sinners is really good? And so are the soundtracks. Yes, soundtracks, plural, because there is the original soundtrack, which has, you know, songs by people, one of which includes James Blake, but, you know, It fits. Also, Jerry Cantrell is on here too, which, that's cool. I can sort of 50-50 over on Rod Wave, but hey, Brittany Howard's here too. That's cool. That's cool. And then there is the score. Ludwig Göransson cooked on this one. Like, especially in, like, the back half of the movie, where things really start amping up. You can feel it. You can feel it pulsing in your bones, in your hearts, in your eyes. It makes sense in context, trust me. There's a very, very, very good crew that Ludwig Göransson was able to amass for this fantastic project, including, let me read this right, Lars Ulrich?
Huh. Never heard
so,
of him.
So, yeah, he's on the on the score soundtrack. He does a couple of Tom Fills and Impact Crashes and snare hits. You'll hear the drums if you listen close enough. Also, yes, he is on the very end of the song. You know, the song. So, should that win some awards, I think he would get one too, because his name is credited on it. So, just keep that in mind. That's my front runner for Academy Award for Song of Best Original Song. What's up? Yeah, go see Sinners if you haven't already. It's going to be playing for a while longer, trust me. This thing has legs and teeth. And a certain appetite for a certain flavor, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you know, you know. Okay, but there's another soundtrack that I listened to and enjoyed because I know the songs. At long last, after much high demand, we got Scott DeWaz, the original soundtrack, Volume 1. Yes, I don't have to say anything else. It is just a collection of songs from the YouTube show of the same name. Everything's on here. Madden for Me, Bargain Bin Christmas, the next big, next best thing. God, not next big thing, that's something else. Songs from The Internet and You, which is fantastic. And also a song that's kind of a spoiler. Scott, I swear to God, if part 3 of the Wii U series does not come out before the Switch 2 releases, just go on a cruise. You need the break. Yeah, we're waiting. But it's just a soundtrack. You know what that's all about. There's also this West Side Gun EP, Heels Have Eyes, because, yes, West Side Gun is a wrestling fan. And part-time wrestling promoter. He was doing the Vegas shows earlier in the month. I heard it went well. And, it's West Side Gun doing wrestling songs. What do you want me to say? It's only 5 tracks long. It's only 10 minutes long. You're in, you're out, boom. Just like other things that I will not say on here because I have restraint. Okay, now, oh my god, that was terrible. For the paltry list of actual albums I listened to, which was not a lot, I know I have my rule, nothing over 14 tracks, but sometimes I can make an exception if it's like under 50 minutes long and it's all segued into each other. Such is the case with this surprise drop from Skrillex. Fuck you, Skrillex. You think you are Andy Warhol, but you're not! ! Heart emoji. You know how long it's been since I enjoyed a Skrillex release? Bangarang.
God damn.
That came out on my 18th birthday. That was 14 years ago.
Ew. It was a simpler time.
It was a better time. I was still in high school back then. Now I'm not. But I find this one a little difficult to actually dive into because it's basically just a 46-minute live set split up into like 34 tracks. Like most of this stuff, most of these tracks are like 1 to 2 minutes long, sometimes less than a minute. I don't know what to say other than I'm glad he remembered what he got famous for, the not so eloquently labeled bro step subgenre, which it gets a bad rap, but you know what? I was a dumb high schooler in 2010 and 2011. I liked it. I was an OG Skrillex fan. I had the EPs. I was into it. I still go back to some of those tracks. I still enjoy it. I still listen to Summit all the time. It's a good song. Bangarang is overhated. I will be the one to say it. Bangarang, overhated. Recess sucks, though. My God, that's a train wreckers waiting to happen.
Damn.
It killed the genre. Should have never gone commercial. Should have never had Chance the Rapper on there either, but that's a topic for another day. But, yeah, just an assortment of electronic music with Trapaholics DJ bits in there.
Trapaholics.
That's fun. And yes, he does do the damn son, where'd you find this bit, which is always pleasant. Although I'm not sure if I missed it or not, but I cannot confirm nor deny that there is the bit of "This is a certified hood classic" on here. Can you tell we like stupid shit around here?
It's like the good old days. We are like fucking Lil B and shit.
We are very simple people around here.
Absolutely.
But I suppose it's time I get into my domain of metal music, of which I have a couple albums here. And, okay, I'm going to do the bad first, because I hate to do this. I'm probably overreacting, but... I'm sorry, folks, but this new Machine Head album, it's not good. It's very bad.
Damn.
Okay, I'm just going to read what I wrote in a Discord server I'm in with that does a whole lot of music discussion. Why is this album so boring? It's 12 tracks, or like 10 plus an intro and interlude. Nearly every track is under or around 4 minutes long. It's clearly designed to be like a back-to-basics kind of metal album. But it just feels and sounds so sauceless. Sans sauce, as the French would say. And I fear going too hard and too deep into quote-unquote modern metal tropes and songwriting and production. Oh, hi there, Jordan Fish! I'm sadly not surprised you're here, too.
Man, he's... That guy's just ever... Why do we get the feeling he's gonna become, like, I don't know, the Jack Antonoff of the modern metal scene?
That is what I wrote.
Ew.
That is what I wrote.
Oh, wow, really? Holy shit.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, we're really doing it, huh? We're just gonna make Jordan Fish to the metal version of Jack Antonoff. I can't say I'm surprised, but I thought that would be like a few years away at least. And especially not on a Machine Head album, even if it's just, you know, the Rob Flynn band at this point. And on this album, it just feels very clashing with the rest of the band's remaining identity. Like, I can't even point out any songs that are worth mentioning. Everything is just... It just blends into a 41-minute soup of plain broth. Like, I'm not disappointed. I'm just really underwhelmed. This is not hard. This is flaccid. Next time, make an album inspired by, I don't know, maybe Rob's kid should watch Jujutsu Kaisen next. And damn it, Rob! You, Robert Flynn, stop taking the love riff from Devin Townsend! Again! We've been over this!
Again?
Yeah, one of the tracks has a riff that's very reminiscent of the Strapping and Lat song Love, which is the second time it's happened. Yada yada, two nickels. At least of Kingdom and Crown was interesting. At least that had a good gimmick to it. This. No. Just no. Sans sauce. There is no sauce to be found. And if there is, it's just spit.
Ew.
Ugh.
Yeah. But there's one other album I listened to, mainly because of its chart placement. So, bit of a funny story. Back in June of 1991, the Skid Row album Slave to the Grind was the very first album classified as heavy metal to hit number one on the Billboard 200. 2 years later, in 1993, Ace of Base became the first Swedish pop act to hit number one on the Billboard 200. And 30-something years later, we have a metal album and a Swedish pop album at number one on the Billboard 200.
Ooh.
Ghost Skeleton. Gonna be honest, I was surprised by this. But in a good way? Like, I'm gonna sound crazy, like I already do, but I'm just glad they finally found their niche and they're just going full-on theatrical pop and glam metal. All the spooky gimmicks and the costumes and the fire and the makeup and yada, yada, yada. You put this album on, it is an 80s pop glam metal album. And I enjoyed it. Like, I'm giving this the Todd in the Shadows Tom Cochran treatment. This is good. I'm not going to dive too deep into it, but the mixing, the production, the arrangements, and, you know, all that. It's good. It's just an 80s pop glam metal album. I enjoy that. I know there's some weird stuff in the lyrics, but then again, you know, spooky gimmick, you know, take what you get. Like, yeah, I mean, I listened to this and I enjoyed it. I don't know what that classifies me as, but hey, in a vacuum, on its own, it was good. Can't say the same about every Ghost album, but for this one, you get a pass, Tobias. This time. Tobias. Don't abuse it. Don't abuse it, sir! Oh, and to everybody going to Ghost shows, yeah, they have a no-phone policy. Prepare ahead of time. Because so he's weird I've like heard. That.
Yeah, that's a whole thing that's happening.
And that's all I've got. I'm going to go lay back and die now.
Alright, I'll have to send a pack of sensu beans your way. Now we move on to the middle part of the podcast, which as always, is Mark's Domain.
Yes. Yeah, April was a month. A month where, well, I had much to pick. I mean, I wish I would have saw Sinners, but I couldn't because either work got in the way or some shit got in the way. Yeah. Anyway, I got about 5-ish albums. Yeah, the ish will come later. So what we got on the agenda? Look at the agenda. What have I got that almost a repeat? It's Bodhi James. It's Bodhi James again. Yeah, and this time we're off the highway with producer B. Dawn. Now, who is B. Dawn? He is a Harlem-based producer who was making. Producers for rappers such as A$AP Rocky, Meek Mill, Will the Kid, Ransom, Kanye West, Shima, other rappers, and the you know, either in the underground, mainstream, in between, basically, be one of those types. Like, I'll say for the album, record, whatever, that V Dumb found some interesting beef for Bodhi. Like, I gotta say that my stuff I would have heard from my Alchemist, almost there, but. It ain't a duplicate. It's just like, you know, it's his own, it got his own style. And when I heard this, it's kind of good. Like, first listen, I thought it was just okay. Or just fine. But if you listen to it, I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of nice. Kind of nice. I've been fucking with some of the songs in there. You got tracks like, RSNS, or is there anything about before I get into it? Like, that's a single that had a bill to it. You got Split the Bill, which I kind of like, the Demento. Limit Head Delight, and the one thing I like the most out of the album, Without Mention, which I've to a couple of times. And of course, I will say, you know, Bodhi continue doing his thing, you know, with his good amount of wordplay lyrics and, you know, doing his usual shit. Yeah. And in terms of regular Bodhi albums this year, well, I mean, I'd say slightly above the previous one, slightly and definitely above Permanent Ink. I still think the one with Chuck Strange is the strongest one, followed by the Rich Gaines one. There's a lot of them, right? Like, there's a lot of right? I don't know. Like, it'll be another album this month. Well, May, because, you know, next, yeah, next episode, yeah, there's going to be another one this May. Not going to be one in June, but fuck it. But yeah, I say this one is slightly, I mean, slightly, like, this one is slightly good. Like, this was a good album from him. I'll say it's slightly on the lower tier, but it's still a good listen. And this one, the next one, I just got this because, oh yeah, so I haven't been in a while, but you know what, I'm gonna get back at them. It's Wu-Tang and Mathematics, Black Samson, the Bastard Swordsman. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a Wu-Tang album, which the last one was a Wu-Tang, a new one was, well, So Continues, which was way back in 2017, which I did talk about it on the roundup. That was almost 7 to 8 years ago. Shit. And now we'll team Mathematics on their fourth record together. And of course, and it goes ready. It's the album's first Wu-Tang album since Once Upon a Time in Shaolin to feature all non-living members. In other words, if you count Master Killer and Capadonna's members, then yeah, it counts. The Fresh of Mind, The RZA, Inspector Deck, Meth the Band, Ghostface Killah, Raekwon, Master Killah, U God, Capadonna, and The RZA. That's 9. Just so you know. Okay, so yeah, like, again, like, I kind of forgot there's an album out on tour. I was like, oh yeah, that's right, this album. And it's part of Record Store Day shit, which I think I don't know if we said it, but anything about it, but it's here. But yeah, I'll say this record is, well, it's definitely moves into the bone for the soul samples, the Kung Fu movie soundbite, storytelling. It's something that I think Wu-Tang fans will like. And we got some sort of outside features, you know, from rappers like, you know, Corrupt, Kool G Rap, and Bane the Butcher, which he was on the track Warriors 2 Coolie High with him and Method Man Living Bars, which I thought, yeah, that's kind of good. Like, of course, like, you got something like Claudine, which sound like something that does have like that dirty soulful shit that you often, what you gotta expect from the town, this one, like, one thing I've noticed on the track, Shaolin versus Llama, if we're gonna inspect the deck on Deck's verse, I just realized something, like, some of the lyrics that Deck was saying, it remind me of his most well-known song, World of the Street. Cause like he freaking hold up. I recognize the lyrics out of nowhere. Like, this shit sound familiar. I ain't saying this either. Just saying, like, it's maybe a callback. But I would have said the world on the street, but not like that. But yeah, like. This one is not too shabby. Yeah, it's this record that doesn't have to do some good to the Wu-Tang name, like, even though considering all the shit we heard from them, either be infighting or some other bullshit that happened. But yeah, it's something you heard first way back. It's a good effort. I still fuck with it. Of course, okay, next up we got this West Side Gun EP, Heels Have Eyes. Yeah, short. It's like, well, it's what Alex said. 10 minute EP, five tracks. Five tracks are kind of good. Like, of course, well, I would do a checklist, but there's like five fucking tracks. Like, I like Einstein Kitchen. I dig Goro. Each of them was pretty good, even though, you know, as it's recorded, it's remixed of it with Dolce on it, so you might want to get that listen too. Like, of course, I got the usual soulful samples, Grammy beats. Of course, the reference references, aka the usual Griselda sent to them. And yeah, this was funny. I kind of like all the projects he released this year. Well, I know it was like two. So I think the one I like the most. Probably because like he got in and out, which I thought, man, it's kind of good. And now for two albums that will take up most of my time. The one that, well, wasn't ever really mentioned, but fuck it, I'm supposed to do it now. Gangsta Doodles, Gangsta Music Volume 3. A name we ain't heard in a while since, well 2021. Because that's the last time that one just came out, even though I was prepared for it. But yeah, he's collecting the various artists through their own spin on gangster music. And yeah, while it's generally hip hop, like, it ain't the driven hardcore gangster rap that's known, but it's more, you know, more groovy, vibe driven, eccentric, extravagant, and obscure. Like, really, most of the people here, like, you wonder who the fuck are these people? Like, there is a lot of people here that you're like, who are they? And I mean, granted, it's been that way since the ascension of it, even though I know some of the names from the first and second one. But yeah, you got names like Raz, Frasco, Wonderful, Doker, Speak, Overcast, Demage, Mr. Scruff, 645AR, Peanut Butter Wolf. Well, I know that name. Chuck Strangers, I know that name. LAJ, DJ Harrison, Homeboy Sandman, I know that name. Low Leaf, Eddie Chichon, Devin Morrison, Susie Analog, Lee Scratch Perry, Daytona Ox, Revivo, Crime Apple, Ibris, ECY Milky Band, McCurley Chris, I know that one, Mr. Mumbles, Girl Talk with Freeway, Walker Fucker Flame, Swan, the guy we actually talked about on the episode of this track once, Xavier Wolf, and Rain. Yeah, how many of these you recognize? No, really, how many did you recognize?
Pass.
Yeah, see.
I know Walk a Flock of Flame. Oh. Does that count?
Yeah, okay. But yeah, okay, yeah. I'm like maybe like a fourth of the names here, and I think it's a negative, like, and I think like this ain't a negative, like, there are names that sound good. I might look them up in the future. Like, I like that Overcast joint. I thought that was kind of good. I love the hell that took that Stranger track, a Gray Matter, which I thought was real good to listen to. I like the Crime Apple track called Big Damone, which, if you heard that name, well, at the end, it's like, you get a sample of Money Talks out of that one Chris Tucker scene. If you know, you know. Just saying, like, the Georgia's got this very smooth, lax, and groovy vibes for all these different sounds. You see this gangster music as, you know, as it carries on. And yeah, gangster dude still doing the thing, these people on here. And I can say this is definitely for people that are in the know, because, well, I mean, it ain't exactly mainstream. We all know that shit from the beginning. I mean, look at the plays of the YouTube music plays, and like, for damn. Like I said, it's very obscure as fuck, but hey, I still rock with it. And of course, last but not least, the one soundtrack that you know that me personally I have to check out because, well, wait. What did you expect? The soundtrack, The Lazarus. From Bonobo, Floating Points, and Kamasi Washington. Now, usually when I look at a Watanabe anime, I always think about the music in there. I think about what genre incorporates that genre into the anime. Like for example, jazz, you got Cowboy Bebop and Kiss on the Slope, but jazz in different forms, like, I mean, it's more, you know, blues, it's more blues, funk, jazz, and Kim Slope is more classic, you know, classic, traditional jazz. Sharon Shampoo, of course, is hip-hop. Space Daddy, dance electronic. Terror Residence, which is, I want to say, ambient and maybe alt-rock. And Carol Tuesday is, well, sort of pop with most of the genres in there, at least, wasn't, you know, but yeah, mostly pop. Lazarus, it's more, you got jazz, and maybe a bit of electronic trip-hop global music in them. I want to say that because, well, I know Bonobo is more global music, and Floating Points is, well, they are electronic with a bit of jazz in them. And, of course, we don't know about Kamasi Washington. I mean, I know people could, I know people make Rise of the Cowardly Bebop, which they kind of shouldn't, it's its own thing. And, okay, and of course, well, and of course, well, first, okay, this would be Noble first. Like, yeah, this was more the, you know, trip hop electronic ambient range. Like, of course, you got the opening track prologue, the track that always plays for you when the episode starts, you know, the whole, you know, this happened, the whole, this how, you know, how my history happened. This happened, that happened, scared to fuck me up. I'm looking at the savior, but fuck the nigga, but yeah. And then, like, one thing that I like my handshake is from the trailers, from the first trailer when it came out, Rippling. That's the song that's the check you hear, like, one of the first trailers when it came out. Of course, you got Dark Will Fall, that's the text they played in the first episode, which we heard prior to this, which the game we said, it's like how that episode, that one song from episode 14 Assassin's Shampoo played. I'll say it's kind of different than that, maybe slightly different, but maybe in a way it is. Like, it does have, that's more that blues feel, which you get, like I said, the Noble score has more of that, you know, global music style, which is known for. And again, the first time I know about him is I heard a song of his on SSX on tour on PSP. Yeah. Like, got tracks like Landfall, Aerials, Drifting, which does deliver on what he's known for. And I think it's Check Through Catcher, from what I mean. Look at the feel, I get wanted to show. And then the floating points. The shortest one of the soundtracks. Like, just six tracks. Like, the six tracks and. Like the most electronic house one being Dexy on the track, the one we heard, which, yeah, this one is more, well, slightly jazzy than expected. This is a track called Wires, which is a Lazarus version because it was there's original version way back. That one was under 12 minutes. This one is like maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And I kind of really dig that track. Like, it got this very smooth, slightly jazzy vibes I want to get from it. And of course, it got more of the action set P tracks, like Ajar, Mirror Eclipse, and Topaz, which was delivered, which I kind of wish there was more flow stuff, because, like, I mean, Dexcom's fine and all, but it does, because I'm like, I kind of got more from him, but yeah, that part's all good. And of course, the longest album part here, which is no surprise, was Washington with his 38-minute 11-track edition of the score, and no one's on Linkin's records. Well, it might be the shortest. I mean, I'm thinking, don't you be like, I want to say an hour, like 2 hours or some shit. This is what I heard. But of course, what I said about long-running albums is that they're not always a bad thing if they got something interesting going on with them. And, well, look, it's Kamasi Washington. Of course, you got to have something good about them. Like, I think this is one of the soundtracks that probably got people saying might say this reminds me of Bebop because, you know, it's very jazzy. But the jazzy type of vibe, we know for Kamasi, the way he plays the saxophone and some cuts, his rotation that he gives, a lot of swell in the presence, because we heard that from the opening Vortex, which is the one opening this season that I would never skip. Usually I skip openings because I want to get to the fucking show. This is the one time I don't skip an opening when I play on HBO Max. Speaking of that, Max, every time I put captions on it, it says to be English, but it's not. It looks like it was Russian. You might want to fix that. But you won't hear this shit. I know you won't. Anyway, it's just to give us a swell and presence that, like the one track that I do like out of it is called Sage. It's called Sageness. Like, near the 4.5 minute mark, this shit sounds majestic in a way, like, it got the heavenly feel, it got that feel of either hope or despair. And since five episodes in, at the time of this recording, I'm thinking, This either sounds like something go down when I hear this. When I hear this, either good or bad. I don't know what's gonna happen, but it does sound just as fuck. And it goes to check coleslaw, which you'll probably hear that a lot on these. I know her in some early episode. That's the first episodes and maybe episode 4 earlier, but yeah, it just hits right. And of course, you can get about the tower truckers, which played during that fight scene in the first series, the fight with Axel with the guards, which are just magnificent. Yeah, I just say this. This kicks some ass. It does have some parts that I thought, this part could have been longer. Bonobo's part was fine, but I do feel like there are some parts that were like, okay, that was fine too, but cool. And Kimashi was still, Kimashi still good. Like, yeah, I think at this point, like, the music for Lazarus is so damn good. And I'm gonna say this right now, speaking anime wise, it's kind of one of the better things I watched this season. The name's confusing, right? Shit. Probably entire second season, Vigilantes and sort of get off track, but yeah, I'm just saying like, yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah. I don't know how I don't know how many people will either fuck with it or not, but yeah, I'm fucking with Lazarus. That sounds like it's a symbol of one time we still one time we got good ear for music. Even if the anime sucks, which I hope it doesn't, the music kicks some ass.
All right, so. That about ends Mark's segment for all of this, and now it's time to go over to me, usually the guy who listens to the most, and I guess technically I did, I think if I'm running the math right, but I gotta be honest, not a lot was hitting this month. I guess when May is the month where we get new sleep token material, they gotta leave very little for April, but there were some things. I'm not even sure if I should, have it structured in, the usual top, quick round, etc., because I could get through all these pretty quickly, so let's start, I guess, just right at the top here. So, yeah, this new Skrillex album, Fuck You Skrillex, You Think You're Andy Warhol, But You're Not. So, I don't exactly have any sort of history with Skrillex. I didn't really give his music a fair shake until, years after, his career implosion. I was like, some of the stuff is alright. I don't really mind. So I just decided to listen to this one on a whim, which, yeah, is basically structured just a live set, continuous mix sort of thing, and, I'm just gonna say it. I had a big stupid smile the entire time. Yeah, this is definitely, leaning in on the classic Skrillex style, but it leans way more on the comedy, mostly because of, the just weird tangents, the damn son, Trapaholics, fucking this sample was copyrighted by Atlantic Records, so you're just going to hear silence.
Damn.
Stuff like that. I think that's what makes the wreck for me. Just all those silly, weird parts, and of course, my personal favorite, just something that I've been saying to myself, every other day since I heard it, call the fire department, because we just nuked the building! So, yeah, you just gotta let yourself give, you just gotta give yourself over to the fun, dumb nature of it all. So, if you could do that, this new Skrillex album's a good time. And then, of course, I should move on to, and this is kind of a funny one, because anybody who knows me on these podcasts know that I usually don't talk live albums that much, because, it's just never been my thing. It's not something I seek out as priority listening when I could just, hold out in desperation that I could see the group live one day, even though I probably never will. But a guy can dream, can't he? Anyway. But I did listen to this new Chatpile live album, Live at Roadburn 2023, which is an interesting choice of year, because keep in mind, this is the year before they dropped their second studio album, Cool World. And this is when, you know, literally the year after God's Country. So all the material being performed on here is mainly that first album and some of the EPs before and after and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So if you were really big into, like, this very specific brand of industrial Midwest metal discomfort that, you know, God's Country provided and those kinds of songs, then hearing them live, you know, was pretty cool. They give some really great live performances. And of course, there's a great deal of attention to the in-between song banter, where you can hear frontman Ray Gunn Bush talk about things like eating at an Arby's outside of the United States, or how RoboCop is a great movie that you should all watch. He's right, by the way, if you still somehow haven't seen RoboCop, what the fuck is the matter with you? He shoots a guy in the dick. And not just any guy, the dad from That 70s Show. Peak cinema. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I liked that live album perfectly fine. So now moving on to the rest of the stuff here. Of course, I also listened to the various Lazarus soundtracks, and for the most part, I could say with Kamasi's and Bonobos, when you're listening to those, you're getting exactly what you're what you might expect if you're familiar with their backlogs. Kamasi's very intricate, lush jazz compositions, and Bonobos' very, like, you know, jazzy trip-hop and world music digressions, which is probably the hire that makes the most sense, given that the show's plot structure so far is a lot of episodic, mission-based globetrotting. And, of course, Phone Points is kind of the odd one out here, because aside from, like, Dexian, which is the most, like, typical of, like, that energetic techno house style, everything is more like, honestly, kind of feels a bit like the Bonobo stuff, too. Like, I know Floating Points' is like discography has, like, a couple of jazz records here and there, but you're still mostly thinking of, like, the house stuff. But still good listens all the way through. This Pigs Times 7 album, Death Hilarious, once again, the Black Sabbath, Sleep, Doom Worship is very strong here. It's not bad for that kind of album. It's very typical as far as, like, you know, sludgy banger type territory. But that one song with an LP guest verse certainly did help liven things up a little bit. From Allegion, The Ossuary Lens. It's very deathy. It's very technical. There's melodies and stuff in there. It is one of the albums of all time. I mean, it's decent enough, but honestly, I think I'll just go back and listen to that Roundabout cover. Because it's a JoJo's reference, you see. Anyway, moving on to this new Sleigh Bells album, Bunky Becky Birthday Boy. This album is a prime example of, wow, you had some terrible choices of lead singles there, because I kept saying that the singles we were getting lacked strong hooks. And the thing is, this band used to have really strong hooks, so I was worried the full album was going to be a bust, but thankfully, that's not entirely the case. It leans very aggressively into contemporary, you know, hyper-pop influences to accentuate, like, their more typical noise pop style. And while it's not exactly up to the classic standard of, like, their first few albums, at the very least, there are some fun tracks and hooks on this record that may save it from being a total wash. Seriously, though, whoever chose those singles, you gotta fire their ass. Then moving on to this new Sumac and More Mother album, The Film, I think it's a pretty good album in the ways that you're probably exactly prepared for if you're familiar with either act. More Mother's bars are very menacing and have a lot of, you know, dramatic bombast in the flow and delivery. Not to mention, you know, the lyrical subject matter, taking aim at the ills of the world and, you know, systemic racism and just the horrors of existence and all that kind of stuff. And it plays very well against Sumac's particular brand of instrumentals. You know, it's very, like, dingy, super long form, sludgy, droning, repetitious metal instrumentals. So now for these last three, I actually didn't put them on the checklist proper because these, I just kind of found out about on a whim. So here's one that I saw in my sub box, you know, a Fantana review of. Though funnily enough, I didn't click the review. I probably should have, so then I would have learned a fun little surprise. So we have a project called Weapon X Demo 2 from a band called X Weapon X. As you can probably tell from the name, first of all, this EP is like, well, this demo is like 9 minutes. And second of all, it is a straight-edge hardcore band. very much like, you know, that 2000s fucking moshing at a fucking Boston basement show in the pit, like that kind of, you know, if you watched a lot of Jared Longy, this is that kind of a chewed up type music. But I get to one track where I hear a very distinctive vocal yelp, and when I heard it, I had to look up what, just to be sure I wasn't going crazy, and sure enough, to my surprise, X Weapon X is a straight edge offshoot of Knocked Loose. Yeah, as soon as you hear that Brian Garris yelp, it's like, oh, I know you. But yeah, honestly, this isn't too bad. Also, this is just a tangent, but I have to point out, they did a split release with a band called World of Pleasure, and I only point this out because one of the World of Pleasure tracks on that split ends on a sample of Sanctuary by Utada Hikaru.
Mm.
You know, the Kingdom Hearts 2 opening theme,
ew,
aka the greatest song of the 2000s. Maybe, if you're me. Listen, that song is peak. I don't care what you say. Alright, and these next two can be filed under the most likely cursed moniker of comedic TikTok brain rot. Hear me out. I know a lot of you are probably run scared right now, but hear me out. So, first up we have Lost Souls, which is your pretty standard Vans Warped Tour metalcore act, whose online presence consists of flash animations that depict a fictional version of the band in various humorous situations. They dropped their debut album Lore, and I mean, again, it's pretty, your opinion is going to depend on what you think of, like, the 2010s, like, Warped Tour, Hot Topic metalcore scene, like, that kind of Amidst the Graves Demons type of music, but I mean, it's pretty, it's alright, again, like, as far as that style, and the lyrics are, you know, singing about silly shit, like, you know, going broke buying trading card booster packs, or trying to maintain a big online social media presence, or my personal favorite, the song about how much working an office job sucks ass. It's very relatable in that regard. And now for the last thing I have to touch on here, this might give you a flashback to 2024, but, have you all heard of this guy named Kyle Gordon? You know, the musical comedian who did that one song, Planet of the Bass, Women Are My Favorite Guy, that whole thing. So apparently he does like recording musical comedy more so than just that one song. Last year he had the album Kyle Gordon Is Great, and last month he had the second, you know, album, Kyle Gordon Is Wonderful. And as far as the material here, it kind of has this back and forth structure of like skit, song, skit, song, skit, song. And the songs and skits riff on stuff like, at least on this album, R&B, gospel music, millennial folk, 1950s rock, that sort of stuff. And the energy is very much like somewhere between TikTok sketch and the golden age of Mad TV. Kind of take that as you will. So, like, the gospel music songs about how the devil is going to molest you, or the every 1950s rock song, for some reason, is about being a 30-something dating underage girls. So, again, it's very much stand-up comedy going into music sort of thing, so it depends on how funny you find it. I will say, though, most of the songs were just kind of eh to me, even by that standard. But there is one song that I actually did get some enjoyment out of, and that, I want to say it's probably the flagship of this project if I had to guess one particular song, and it would be Crawl to Me, which is a parody of early 2000s nu metal that, without exaggeration, is essentially, what if Fred Durst sang over a Linkin Park instrumental? It kind of slaps harder than that description suggests. So, again, take that as you will. And, yeah, it's basically about it. I don't really have anything else to add, so, yeah, as usual, here's the sign-off part. You know, there'll be a playlist in the description of whatever we think you should listen to. You know where to find us on the social medias. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, SuperResolution.com, SuperResolution on Blue Sky, all that business. So, again, thank you for listening. May's gotta be more eventful. There's a new fucking Sleep Token album. There's gotta be more stuff happening. So, right. Yeah, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to, you know, tune in for more of the usual weekly episodic business. And until next time, peace out.